It is today Pentecost. And as I get older, the more I kind of wonder, why on earth don't we make more of Pentecost? Like, we make a big deal about Christmas, which is good and right. You know, it's the moment that we believe Jesus, God himself, became a human being with the sole purpose of coming to save us. Like, that's worth celebrating. And of course, we celebrate Easter because that is the moment that God, as a human being, Jesus, took the entirety of sin, the entirety of evil, everything that's ever been done wrong on himself in order to save us, dying on a cross in our place, but then crucially coming back to life again, having defeated death and sin once and for all. It is right and good that we celebrate these moments. But why on earth don't we make a bigger deal out of Pentecost? You know, we always have a service churches together, which is incredible. You know, when you think about Pentecost and the way in which it kind of undid the story of the Tower of Babel, all those languages being spoken against them being united as different people. It's incredible we have a churches together service. And there is one this evening, so please do tune into that. But why don't we make a bigger deal out of it? Why don't we make it into a big festival like Christmas and Easter? You know, Pentecost itself, it existed before this story that we looked at today. It is actually comes from the word 50th, because it's 50 days after Passover, and it's the second harvest festival that God told the Jewish people, the Israelite people, to celebrate. So it was an event that was already in the Jewish calendar and that has been, I believe, superseded by this coming of the Holy Spirit. Why don't we make a bigger deal out of it? I wonder, though, if it's because we struggle and we're a little bit afraid of the Holy Spirit. You know, God the Father, we get, don't we? We get this idea of the father figure, the almighty creator who loves us, yes, and loves us as children, but is disciplined and out of his love disciplines us. You know, we get that picture of the father. We can get our heads around that. And we uncomfortable with it sometimes, happy with it a lot of times, but we get it. We get the son, you know, Jesus, God himself in human form. Again, I'm not in any way suggesting these aren't incredible things, but we get it. You know, Jesus, who is love, who showed his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. We get the Son. We get the Father. But we struggle a little bit, I think, with the Holy Spirit. The one who is powerful. The one who we can't see, but we can see his effects. The one that we can experience. But we can never meet in the same way as we feel we can meet the Father and the Son. Yeah, we could spend a lot of time thinking about the Trinity today. We're not going to. It's too much for today. But I wonder if the reason we don't celebrate Pentecost in the same way as the others is because we're a little bit afraid of the Spirit. And if you take nothing else away from today, can I encourage you? Don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit. He is God. And God, as we've been looking at through our Joshua series, he is for you. He loves you. And the Holy Spirit loves you and wants to work with you, not send you off to faraway places, not make you do things you don't want to do. The Holy Spirit will not do that. But what he wants to do is live with you, work with you, empower you to be more like Jesus. Let us pray. Before we dive into this passage today, let's just pray. Holy Spirit, we want to invite you this morning. Sometimes we're a little bit afraid of you, and we confess that is true. Help us today to not be afraid, but to be excited. Help us today to hear your voice, to feel your presence, to allow you to do what you want to do in us and through us. In Jesus' name. So, the story of Pentecost, what an incredible story. We are going to pick up as Joshua's series next week, but as it is Pentecost, it seemed right and good to look at this story today. And to locate where this story is, because we've been in Joshua for a little while, to locate this story very quickly. Jesus has come as a little baby, he has grown up, he has lived his life, begun his ministry, taught, and he has lived a perfect life, and he has died a death for us. He's taken all of sin and shame on his shoulders and he dies. And then, defeating death, defeating sin, he comes back to life. Then he goes and meets with his disciples. And he tells them to go. To go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. And then he tells them to wait. Before they go do that, wait in Jerusalem. Because he is going to send the Spirit, the Helper, to help. That's where we pick up this story. They are gathered together, waiting for the Holy Spirit. Now, where they are, you know, we don't actually know. The tradition suggests that they're in the upper room. We hear they're in an upper room, and tradition suggests that you know, they're just in the same room they had the Last Supper, but we don't know that. We wonder, you know, could they be in a house? It's possible. Luke isn't clear. Could they be in a room in the temple? Again, possibly, we just don't know. Luke doesn't make it clear where they are. And I think there's actually a lesson there for us. Where they are isn't as important. So if where they are isn't important, what has Luke told us? What has he thought important enough to tell us? First, they're gathered. That's one of the things Luke tells us about this passage. And what he tells us is important, that they were gathered. You know, whether they were still afraid of the religious authorities that had killed Jesus, you know, we can maybe assume that's the case, which we wonder whether they would then be in the temple. But again, that doesn't matter. What matters is that they had gathered together in this moment. You know, it's difficult to talk about gathering at the moment, isn't it? Because we can't gather. As families, as friends, as church, as family, as church family, we can't gather together. But while we might not be able to gather physically, we are gathered, aren't we? This morning, we are gathered together by technology. We are no less gathered than those people in that room on that Pentecost day. We are gathered together right now. And Luke makes it clear that that's important. And I want to say to you this morning, it's important that we continue to gather together. Because the time is coming, I don't know if it's already come, where these gatherings seem less important. Meeting together seems less important. As we begin to settle into a normal life under lockdown, gathering together loses its shine that it once had. And if you're in that place of temptation right now, can I encourage you? Don't stop gathering. We were built for community. We were built to be a part of a church family. So don't stop gathering. There are people in this family who need you to be around, whether you need them or not. Luke makes it clear one of the important things wasn't where they were, but the very fact that they had gathered together. And he also makes clear that they had gathered together to pray. They had gathered together to listen to God together. They had gathered together to speak to God together. They had gathered together to wait. I know how God speaks to you. And maybe you're learning that for the first time, and that's beautiful. And keep going on that journey, but I find that when God wants to talk to me or say something specific to me through his word or through other means, he generally has to say it multiple times for me to get the message. Which is why, you know, forgive me if you think, hang on a second, this is what God told you said last week. And that's the case. Because sometimes God has to say things to me multiple times. And maybe this is just the thing for me, but I believe what he's saying to me through this passage, as he said through our passage last week, is that there are times of waiting. You know, last week we looked at the people of Israel as they had to walk around the walls of Jericho, waiting for 7 days before God knocked the walls down. In this moment, we find the disciples once again being called to wait before God does something big. And once again, I wonder whether God is saying to us in this moment, this is a time of waiting. A time where I want you to gather and to listen and to pray together and wait together, because I'm going to do something big. It's what I hope he's saying. It's what I believe he's saying through these moments of scripture. that this is a moment of waiting. But when that waiting's over, he's going to do something big. And as they get, you know the rest of the story, as they gather together, as they're praying, as they're waiting, this sound of a rushing wind fills the room. Tongues of fire come down and separate and rest on each of them. And God himself, the Holy Spirit, comes and lives, dwells in them, empowers them into speaking in multiple languages they have never learned. This was the birth of the church. This was an event that isn't repeated. You know, God came by his Holy Spirit, rested on his people, and he has been coming and resting on us ever since, living in us ever since. Up until this point, that the experience of the Spirit, because the Spirit wasn't born in this moment. We see the Spirit throughout Scripture. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon people in power, but only for a moment. In this moment, the Holy Spirit falls, he comes, and he stays. The Holy Spirit is available to you today. He wants to live in you. He wants to work in you. And if you are a Christian, that is your gift, your inheritance. If today you're sat there and you don't know Jesus, that you've never experienced his Holy Spirit, can I encourage you? Oh, man. It's the best. It's the best adventure you could ever go on, the best mission you could ever experience. If you've never welcomed Jesus into your life, if you've never asked for his forgiveness, can I ask you today, do something brave. Take a step on the greatest adventure you will ever experience. Ask him into your life. Ask the Spirit to move in you. You will not regret it. His Holy Spirit has come and rests forever on his people. This is a once and for all thing. But what I think I've never really thought about up until I've been looking at it this time is that nobody outside of that room heard this. Nobody outside of that room heard the wind. Well, it's not recorded anyway. Nobody outside of the room saw the fire. The first thing that they hear, that God has moved, that God has spoken, that God's Spirit has indwelled in people, the first thing they hear about it is when the people of God burst out of that room and begin to tell the world of what God has done. I wonder, is that where we are today? Is God asking us to wait, to gather like this, to listen, to pray together and to listen, to wait for his Spirit to do something great, something amazing. Now, his Spirit, let me be clear, I'm not suggesting there can be a second Pentecost. There can't. His Spirit is already at work. But I wonder, is he waiting? Is he telling us to wait and receive his Spirit, be empowered by his Spirit, ready to burst out of those doors when we can and tell the world of what he's done? I wonder, is that where we are today? To borrow a phrase from Spring Harvest, are we waiting and listening for his Spirit to move in us and to be unleashed into a world that, let's be honest, is going to be very different from the one we left? You know, let's not overlook the groundbreaking nature of what's happened here. God now dwells in human beings. We are his temple. But that is paradigm shifting. It's world changing for these disciples. These guys are Jews. They're descended from Israel. They're Israelites. And the Israelites have always known up to this point that God's presence lives in a tent. That sounds weird, but when they were going through the desert, God told them to build a tabernacle. And God dwelt in the tabernacle. Then when the tabernacle was gone, God told them to build a temple. And God dwelt in the temple. And the Ark of the Covenant was the symbol of God's presence. You know, they understood that God dwelt in the temple. He was for Israel and he dwelt in the temple. And yet in this moment, God completely shatters everything they understood. No longer do they need to go to the temple to worship God because he lives in them. No longer do they have to do all this ceremonial washing as they pilgrimage towards the temple. He lives in them. They are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. You and I are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. To us, that's normal. To them, it shook everything they understood. And I wonder if we need to prepare ourselves for new. Because the world we go back to, the world we come out to after this lockdown, is going to be different. You know, we may be mourning all that we've lost in terms of meeting together, in terms of worshipping God together, and that's okay to mourn that. It is hard. It is sad. But the world we come back into, it won't be the same as the one we left. The way we worship together may be different. We may continue to live stream for those who can't be with us. I don't know what it's going to look like. All I know is that the world we're heading into is going to be different from the one we left. God has broken the ground. The world has shifted. But what I can say is that this passage, this story, encourages me that my God has still got this in hand. That whatever world we come out to, He already knows what that looks like. That even though the way we worship together may be different in different ways, He is still the same. And that whatever new thing He is calling us to, it's going to be incredible. The disciples in this moment could not have imagined what God was about to do. And yes, there were moments where they probably wished for the old days, moments where they probably mourned the temple. In fact, you know, the Jewish people are still mourning their temple. And I imagine these Israelites mourned the temple when it was destroyed in 70 AD. There was mourning for what they had lost. But there was also excitement for what they had gained. If you're in a place today of mourning what we may have lost, that's okay. I can also encourage you not to spend all your time harking back, to be excited about what God has got for us next. And in this season, as we wait and we listen, let us be expectant. Expectant that His Spirit will work. Expectant that His Spirit will reveal things to us. Expectant that His Spirit will equip us for the next season, that we might go out of this lockdown and into a world that He is already in. Into a world that needs Him and needs people empowered by Him to be unleashed. Totally stealing from Spring Harvest now. Check out Spring Harvest if you haven't. So church, be encouraged in this time and start getting excited. Yes, it's a time of waiting. Yes, it's a time of listening. But if the story of Pentecost is any indication, our God is awesome. He has always been awesome and He always will be awesome. Let's just pray. Holy Spirit, we thank You that You are not constrained by our thoughts, by our imaginations, that You are greater in this time of lockdown, in this time of being isolated so often. Holy Spirit, would You meet us in new ways, in fresh ways that we have never experienced before. Equip us, Spirit, in this time. Equip us for the moment You tell us to go, the moment You tell us to shout. Equip us for Your world. In Jesus' powerful, mighty, and glorious name.